Hello and welcome to another episode of the Startup Operator Roundup. I'm Roshan Karyappa.
And I'm Gunjan Saha. And together we'll be breaking down the biggest headlines from India's growing startup ecosystem. In this week's episode, we'll be discussing the biggest takeaways from OpenAI Dev Day 2023. Next, we'll also talk about the legal drama that has been brewing between WalkMe, which is an Israel-based startup, and our very own WhatFix. Closer home, the Telecom Regulatory Authority of India is proposing the use of blockchain to curb spam and protect user consent. Next, we'll also talk about InstaMojo's plan to pivot and shut down its core payments business since RBI rejected its application for payment aggregator license. And along with that, we'll also talk about the success story of Perfios and how they tripled their revenues to become profitable. So a lot of exciting updates to discuss in this week's roundup. Stay tuned. If this is the first time you're tuning into this channel, then please consider subscribing to it, for we share regular updates from the India's startup ecosystem. And if you're a returning listener, then do like this video and share it with your friends and let us know in the comments how we perform. Well, before we begin, we hope you had a fantastic Diwali celebration with your friends and family. Roshan, what did you do?
Well, I mean, I saw my friends after quite a long time, actually. Not you. I mean, you, of course, I see almost every day. But Diwali is that special time of the year. People congregate at our house and, a lot of sweets, a lot of festivities, a lot of firecrackers also, right? It seems like, this year, Milords had sort of conspired to make this Diwali louder, more noisier and more smokier also, I think.
Wasn't it just the opposite?
Yeah, I mean, I think people, people show a middle finger to, authority sometimes. I think this was one of those cases, I suppose, right? But in any case, I mean, all green crackers and whatnot, right? But great time for sure. I mean, this season is a time for reflection, and it's a time for sweets. Sweets.
Diwali was definitely sweeter because of the way our boys played against New Zealand.
Oh, yeah.
What a fantastic match.
Amazing.
I mean, India kind of seems unrivaled in this World Cup.
Don't jinx it. Please, let's not talk about the match anymore. Let's talk about it when it's all over. All right, let's get on with the news.
Let's get on with the updates. So first, I will talk about the big takeaways from OpenAI's Dev Day. But before we dive into the updates, let's take a moment to appreciate just how big OpenAI ChatGPT has become. Mm. I think November 30th will be coming up on the one-year mark. And in this last 365 days, there are over 2 million developers who are working with the company's tools.
Wow.
And around 460 of the Fortune 500 companies are using its products.
Amazing.
But the really big number is, on a weekly basis, around 100 million people are using it.
That's crazy. I think, Facebook took about 4 years to reach 100 million. WhatsApp, maybe like a year, couple of years, I suppose. Maybe or a few months, I suppose. And OpenAI got there in weeks, right?
Yeah,
in a matter of 6 to 8 weeks, they were already at 100 million users. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's phenomenal, and a few things from the demo also. I think they've launched this GPT-4 Turbo.
Yeah.
Why don't you share the other updates?
Well, yeah, along with GPT Turbo, they also released versatile capabilities. Mm. They have introduced what's called the Assistant APIs, which is set to revolutionize the entire app development process, since it allows developers to create assistants with specific instructions using the generative AI.
This is like a total game changer, because if you can train it for context, then it can theoretically work in any different setting, right? I mean, any function, any type of industry and so on, right? And yeah, now, I mean, you might see it more in the service and support related stuff, but it can also move forward to sales as well. In fact, Sumit himself is enabling that bot that they built to move from support to sales, right? I mean, he will probably have it do a few deal negotiations and whatnot. So exciting times. So this is absolutely amazing, I would say.
Then not only sales, I mean, I think it was Goldman Sachs that announced that it's also going to build a version of GPT for themselves, with which it will consult large companies. And for them, they'll be charging $1 million. Journalists are reporting, but I mean AI is definitely the flavor. That's where anyway will be
a lot of these services, right? Wherever you need data and you need like amazing context and stuff, right? I mean, data could be the proprietary difference between you know, your services then in that case, right? Because I'm sure Goldman has a ton, a treasure trove of proprietary data that they can leverage. Similarly, I mean, the likes of McKinsey or you know, some of the other consulting folks, right, or audit folks will have all of that data that they can leverage. So I think GPT-4 just makes it you know,
much more easier and accessible to process.
Yeah, and you can put that in a process, like you said. So, I mean, your junior consultants or whatnot, right? I mean, I would say, you know, the teams are going to get a lot more reduced, I feel. Yeah.
Well, only time will tell. But the biggest news from the Dev Day was OpenAI launching its own GPT store, which will be going live later this month.
Mm-hmm.
This store will let users to share and sell their custom-built GPT bots. And Sam Altman even says that, you know, the company will be paying people who build the most useful and the most used GPTs.
Amazing.
A portion of the company's revenue.
Yeah.
Now, when I was going through some of the articles online, many reporters are comparing this moment to the launch of the App Store back in 2008.
Yeah, I was just thinking that actually. I think because, you know, it's always 10x, 100x, 1000x better when you democratize your innovation to a wider set of developers, right? I mean, you said 2 million developers are working on it. They can certainly conceive more ideas, more solutions than, you know, whatever number of people that, you know, OpenAI has at this point, right? So the great thing that Google did, the great thing that Apple did was to open up that third-party developer ecosystem, right? And make it profitable for them to build stuff also. So I think that will be phenomenal. Yeah. It'll be a game changer.
Yeah.
A lot of game changers.
Well, Ajay, one observation, which I mean, you also touched on it briefly, right? While this development allows anyone to create their own custom bots for GPT, I think what will differentiate among these people is their access to data. Like how much data, what quality of data you're using to train this model or feed into this model. That is what will be separating the best from the rest. Moving on to the next headline, Israel-based startup WalkMe has filed a lawsuit against WhatFix in the US. WalkMe alleges that WhatFix gained unauthorized access to its system to interfere with customer relationships, tried to make misleading advertising claims about its products, and used its design mark without permission. WalkMe is seeking damages and an injunction to stop WhatFix from continuing these practices. To this, WhatFix has responded, of course, denying the allegations, and said that they are baseless and motivated by WalkMe's fear of losing market share to WhatFix. And in an internal email, Khadim has written that this move by WalkMe is a result of WhatFix's success in the international market, and that WalkMe has a history of resorting to legal action against its competitors. Now, I don't think I have come across a news like this, but what does this lawsuit reflect on the broader SaaS industry?
No, it's fairly common. Once you get to a certain size where you become significant enough to bother about, right? I mean, that is when people will employ all sorts of methods to sort of come after you, whether it is undercutting you on deals or, you know, lawsuits and so on, right? I mean, you know, you look at some of the larger guys, whether it's Apple, Samsung, Google, etc. I mean, they have entire legal departments that are only like doing this full time, right? I mean, defending or suing people. So it's just the nature of the game, I would say. And the allegations are, you know, I mean, it seems very, very broad, right? Obviously, we don't know the details of, you know, what has transpired, etc. But yeah, I mean, something to expect, I would say, right? I mean, WalkMe is at about 250 million revenue. WhatFix, I suppose, about 50, 60 million at this point of time, right? And if I was a conventional, traditional player in a growing industry that is getting disrupted, right? So I would definitely be worried, you know? So I think that it also signifies that WhatFix has come of age in some sense. And props to them, right? I mean, this entire, you know, seed app category that they built, a digital adoption platform category over the last 2 or 3 years, they've really helped pioneer a lot of the changes in that, you know. So yeah, I mean, that means that there's something to be reckoned with, I suppose, right? Hopefully the team comes out clear of all the problems. Let's see. So. Yeah.
Kind of feels like a scene from Silicon Valley, right? When Hulu tries to file lawsuits against Byte Piper.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. The Telecom Regulatory Authority of India is planning to launch a blockchain platform to to register user consent and curb spam calls. Now, this is a major move to tackle the issue of unsolicited marketing messages and pesky calls. And Try has taken a lot of significant steps toward this. Now, to ensure the authenticity of user consent and streamline the process, Try has implemented blockchain technology and has implemented what is called the digital consent acquisition process. This blockchain platform will serve as a secure and transparent database, which will be accessible to all telecom operators.
Mm.
And by employing blockchain technology, Try can verify the user consent accurately, allowing only authorized promotional messages to be sent to customers. Now, all existing consents will expire post the implementation of this platform, which will mean that all other entities will need to seek fresh consent through digital means exclusively.
Mm.
Now, I kind of feel bad. I mean, I feel good, but for folks maybe at Bajaj
you feel
Finance,
good, but you feel bad. Well,
the number of calls, I mean, I'm sure you would have faced the number of calls you get when you, let's say you're browsing through a web, a financial services aggregator. I'm not taking any names here. As soon as you put in your mobile number, the number of calls you get.
Yeah. No, I mean, for sure, right? I mean, I get 3 or 4 calls at a minimum. And this is after blocking tons of numbers, right? And this, see, this is a use case that should have been solved yesterday by blockchain, right? And these are the sort of low-lying, low-hanging fruits that, you know, that blockchain can solve for, right? I mean, because this is, again, very low risk, right? I mean, I mean, validating what spam numbers are, what real numbers are, and so on, right? I mean, I think it has to be solved. I really hope that, you know, we all get a higher degree of convenience and comfort because of a lack of these, you know, spam calls and so on, because it's just increased to such a great extent, right? And we should not have to like install a Truecaller or something of that sort, right? I mean, it should be regulated at the telecom authority level itself. I think the Try has done a good job, I would say.
But again, if you think about it, when telecom entities, right, like Airtel, Vodafone and all, they launched the DND services, right? Through which, again, the intention was the same. They wanted to curb these spam calls. But, well, of course, companies are smart. They always add this, I agree to receive marketing and promotional messages, as a very fine print during the sign-up process. What about that? Do you think people will find workarounds around, you know, blockchain as well?
I think it's different from DND in that, you know, there will be a higher degree of validation here, right? It's a wider base of numbers and contacts that will be verifying whether something is spam or not. Right. And I think it's time, man. I mean, I think this whole DND thing happened maybe like 5-6 years back, maybe more than that, I suppose. Right. And I myself didn't register for DND fearing that, you know, I may not get calls from certain products or companies that I would have actually registered for and were actually important for me. Right. Something of this sort is necessary, I suppose, every once in a while to sort of rehash things. Give explicit consent to what products or companies should reach out. I would love for some kind of dashboard to exist where, you know, I just key in my number and I see all of the hundreds of products or services or companies that have, you know, access to my number and can also reach out to me, right? And that central database to sort of solve for, you know, for spam and whatnot, right? I feel like Ranjan of Bureau is doing something similar on the sort, right? More in terms of like fraud and, you know, privacy, authentication and so on. So you guys might want to check out Bureau that is solving a similar problem. Yeah.
Okay. Now, while this will be implemented primarily for calls and SMSs, it'll be interesting to see whether this will cover the whole area for WhatsApp messaging as well, because a lot of these companies are now moving to, you know, WhatsApp messaging.
Yeah.
In other news, InstaMojo, which is a very well-known fintech startup, which is even backed by the likes of MasterCard, recently had to shut down its core payments business. This happened because the Reserve Bank of India did not approve their application to work as a licensed payments aggregator. As a result, the company had decided to pivot away from payments and explore other lines of businesses. Towards that, it has partnered with Nova Registry to offer more relevant domain names for businesses and also acquired Get Me a Shop, which is a digital commerce platform to strengthen its e-commerce services. Now, the central bank in February this year had granted in-principle approval to as many as 32 entities to operate as an online payments aggregator. Since then, many more fintech firms have lined up and applied for this license, trying to bring the whole online payment aggregation business in the country within the regulatory fold. But many of them have been denied. And this list includes the likes of FreeCharge, which is now operated by Axis Bank, PayU, Paytm. So how does InstaMojo's pivot reflect in terms of the larger trends you're seeing in the fintech industry as well as the e-commerce industry? Yeah.
So it might hurt their acquisition. I mean, again, you know, I mean, this is a perspective right from the outside. I mean, it could be different. I feel like it might hurt their acquisition. But in any case, everyone kind of acknowledges, right, you know, payments is the tip of the spear. And, you know, the value-added services are the real business, right? Hmm. That is where there are any amount of margins to be made. So InstaMojo for a while has been targeting these small businesses with all kinds of services, right? I mean, whether it is, you know, your merchant storefront or, you know, the other services that you mentioned, right? So I think, I don't know if it'll hurt their, if it'll hurt their margins or anything of that sort. And yeah, I mean, I hope that they're able to reapply and fix any kind of compliance regulation issues that they might have potentially had to get that license, right? But today someone was making the point as to, you know, why can't people sell to small businesses, right? Because small businesses are really challenging to sell to, you know. Mm. They churn like crazy. They're very poor paymasters and they're highly, highly demanding, right? So I really feel that, you know, businesses like InstaMojo have to be applauded further, right? Because, you know, you need these people trying to offer quality services, trying to help these folks formalize as mm-hmm. well, right? I mean, the, you know, the mom and pop shops and the D2C businesses and whatnot, right? I mean, I hope that they're able to resolve things and come out of this stronger.
Yeah. Also, I mean, kudos to the founders, right? I mean, they have taken this in a stride and they have not been really try to figure out other workarounds around it, but rather they decided to pivot and strengthen other verticals of the business. Yeah. And they did make these strategic acquisitions well ahead of time, right? When they knew, okay, here is something which may not work out for us, so let's focus on some other things. Moving on, Perfios has turned profitable in FY23 after it tripled its revenue. The revenue from operations increased to 407 crores in FY23, which was mainly driven by software support for loan processing that accounted for 49% of the total operating revenue. It also registered a net profit of 7.8 crores compared to a net loss of 16.8 crores in the previous fiscal, and its EBITDA margin stands at 17%.
Okay.
Perfios is also planning an IPO as well as an acquisition. They acquired fintech startup Karza Technologies for 600 crores last fiscal, and that also significantly contributed to the revenues and profit. They also announced plans to go public in the next 18 to 24 months and have also hired key executives for its IPO preparations. Now, this is fantastic news because Perfios is a key player that has enabled the whole digitalization of Indian BFSI, right? And they made some great acquisitions as well, which unlike some other players we know, are actually contributing to the revenue of the company. So what other things stand out for you from this?
Yeah, I think that IPO journey is key, right? It's very critical because, you know, public markets respect one thing and one thing alone, that's profitability, right? So you've, you know, come this far based on potential, based on revenue, but going forward, what will really be important is that profitability. And that is what they're trying to drive towards, right? To get to a significant scale at profits. And, you know, the retail markets are like, they're pretty... they're pretty wise about these things, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not, you can't pull a wool over them, right? So you can't, you know, do all of this dress up, maybe a quarter, maybe, you know, two quarters or whatever prior to a listing, right? I mean, so it's really imperative that companies prepare well in advance for this IPO journey, right? Perfios has done that. I mean, they're doing this, you know, supposedly two years before they even list, right? So, wish them all the best. And, we could all have more tech IPOs in the market, mm-hmm. really. You know, I mean, that is really something that everyone should hope for, I think, right? So, yeah.
Up next in our Talk of the Town section, we have this article by Sanjay Sanyal and Akansha Arora, who write about the boom in Indian patents. Towards that, Hirak Jyoti Barua tweets, India's IPR ecosystem has seen a remarkable growth, with the country now ranking third globally in trademark filing according to the WIPI 2023 report. Patent applications in India have almost doubled from 45,444 in 2016-17 to 82,805 in 2023, reflecting a surge in innovation. But on this, I'll also go ahead and say it's not only the surge in innovation that is happening in the country. Well, of course, a huge reason for that is the innovation itself. But the second thing which has really favored this is also the policy tailwinds which we are seeing. Right? Yeah. The government has really made it easier to file patents as well as brought down the cost significantly.
Yeah. No, this is the same point that Kaushik Mudda brought up, right? I mean, Kaushik is the founder of Ethereal Machines, and hopefully you guys will hear the podcast pretty soon. It should be out maybe in a week or 2 weeks. And he brought this up, right? I mean, saying that they have multiple patents and they've been able to file these patents only because of government support, right? Because a patent with an IPR lawyer and so on and so forth would cost at least a bare minimum of 2 lakhs, right? And here I'm talking about the bare minimum. Aside from all of that janjat of like working with a lawyer, legal team, etc., right? But now it's come down to a few tens of thousands, if I'm not mistaken, right? So that is a huge imperative for, you know, people to like file more patents. I feel like overall IP has to be respected in India. You know, you know, we keep cribbing about where is India building the IP and why are there so many services companies and whatnot. We have to incentivize people to also go out and build IP, right? I mean, if just anybody is going to like copy whatever I do, really, what is the incentive to, you know, build anything new, right? Or even file for IP. So I think this is a fantastic, fantastic step. Yeah. By the way, I mean, Sanjeev Sanyal's son is an MMA fighter, apparently.
Whoa.
Crazy, right? I mean, father's an economist and, you know, son's an MMA fighter. I mean,
do you have any lawyers in the family now?
No, but his grand uncle, Sanjeev Sanyal's grand uncle, was a revolutionary as well, right? Satyendranath Sanyal. So, yeah, Bengal had a lot of revolutionary spirit.
All right, now let's discuss some of the key fundraisers from these last 2 weeks. Logistics startup ExpressBees raised $80 million from Teachers Venture Growth or TVG. Then Zepto has raised $31.25 million from Goodwater Capital, Nexus Venture Partners and other angel investors. Medical tech startup Inito raises $6 million in funding round, which was led by Fireside Ventures. And Bharat Housing Network or BHN raised 125 crores or $15 million from NAB Ventures Fund, Varanium NextGen Fund, Nine Unicorns and Riverwalk Holdings. Now, among this, Roshan, the Zepto fundraise really stands out to me, right? Because we have been discussing, you know, the turmoils which companies like Dunzo has been facing, right? Zepto, well, of course, a very promising startup started by, you know, a few 19-year-old Stanford graduates. But at the same time, we do know that running this quick service, you know, quick commerce company is not at all easy. There's a lot of burn.
Yeah.
The margins are extremely low. And here Zepto is raising, I don't know what fundraise this is of theirs.
It'll be interesting to understand if it is from existing investors and at what valuations they kind of came in, right? I mean, see, I mean, I've said this before that in 2021, if you thought something was interesting and viable enough to invest at some X value, you should think it's a steal at some X by, you know, X by, I don't know, X by 2 or X by 3 value, right? Which is what, you know, a lot of these startups have corrected to at this point of time. So, yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see that. And yeah, quick commerce is a hard, hard, hard business. I mean, you know, razor thin margins, very little scope for any kind of, you know, inefficiencies and whatnot. Right. But who knows? I mean, they're perhaps, you know, adding some sort of innovation to it to, you know, increase the margins. But you know, let's hope, I mean, time will tell, I suppose. But yeah, And ExpressB is raising $80 million is again interesting, right? Because we keep saying that, you know, there are no growth rounds happening. And which is true. I think growth rounds obviously have slowed down.
Slowed down, yeah.
But yeah, good to see a $70 million round in the middle of all this.
$80 million.
Oh, $80 million. Yeah. Shucks.
All right. So Roshan, we have few exciting guests lined up. Well, depending on when you're listening to this roundup, we had a fantastic conversation with Kaushik Mudda, who is the co-founder and CEO of Ethereal. You know, he was one of those guests who spoke really passionately for building not only out of India, but building for India as well.
Yeah.
And I really, really enjoyed your conversation with him.
I mean, it was amazing. So Ethereal is building these 5-axis CNC machines, right? So think of very, very precise manufacturing. So they serve, industries like healthcare, aerospace, and defense and so on, right? It's been a story of perseverance, right? I mean, they've been around for about 10 years now. Have raised very little funding from Bloom, I think. Are finally seeing a lot of success. I mean, they can't keep up with the demand. So Kaushik spoke very passionately about this. And, you know, from an India perspective, we'll have to start building these hard tech startups, right? I mean, because software will only go so far, I would say. And hardware is where the real differentiators are, right? So I think we should all, like, start cutting metal.
Well, for me, the most interesting part for me is to, like, why they left out automotive industry, which, you know, we see on Nat Geo and all, they use precision cutting tools. But Kaushik had a very interesting reason why Ethereal left out automotive as an industry. So folks, if you have checked out the episode, do let us know in the comments what you think about that reasoning. We'd love to hear from you. All right, so that is it for roundup number 134. Thank you so much for staying with us right till the end. We hope you enjoyed this conversation. Once again, do subscribe to our channel, like this video, and share it with your friends and network. And also do leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. That aside, follow us on our social media for regular updates. And if you want these updates to be delivered straight into your WhatsApp inbox, do check out the WhatsApp link.
I know you guys hear this a lot of times, but guys, please follow, please subscribe, and please share. It really helps us, because a lot of times, I mean, people comment either in, on YouTube or elsewhere that, hey, I mean, this channel deserves more views, more subscribers, and so on and so forth. Well, you could help us with that, right? Click on subscribe, follow, whatever right now, and send this on WhatsApp to a bunch of your folks.
All right, folks, so that's it. We hope you have a fantastic week ahead. And the next roundup, we'll be back again with more exciting news. So stay tuned.
Cheers, guys.